Ever wish you could sit down with a Wall Street legend, you know, maybe grab a coffee, pick their brain about investing?
Yeah, like have Warren Buffett over for a chat.
Exactly. Well, today we're doing the next best thing. We're diving deep, and I mean deep, into The Intelligent Investor by the one and only Benjamin Graham.
This book, it's wild to think it was first published back in 1949.
49, and it's still relevant.
Oh, absolutely. Graham's core principles, they're like that vintage watch that never goes out of style. You know what I mean? Timeless, reliable, and incredibly valuable.
Okay, so we're talking about the 1972 edition for this deep dive. We're also going to be pulling from Jason Zweig's commentary because, let's be real, some things in finance, they just never change. So whether you're like a seasoned investor or just starting to dip your toes in, our mission today is to give you the tools and the mindset to become a more intelligent investor.
That's right. We're cutting through all that jargon, all the hype, and giving you what you need to build real, lasting wealth.
And it all begins, of course, with understanding the man behind the masterpiece. Now, Graham wasn't just some stuffy academic, you know, stuck in an ivory tower. This was a Wall Street veteran, someone who'd seen it all, lived through the ups and downs of the market firsthand.
Exactly. He wasn't just talking the talk, he walked the walk. He knew how to find value where others just saw chaos.
Give us an example. Give us a sense of his genius.
Okay, take Northern Pipeline Co. in the 1920s. So, through meticulous research, Graham discovered this company was basically sitting on a gold mine of bonds. Bonds. And these bonds, get this, they were worth significantly more than the company's actual stock price.
Hold on, stop right there. That's huge. So
Right.
it's like walking down the street and finding like a wallet just overflowing with cash.
Pretty much.
Okay, but he didn't just grab a couple of bills and run, right? He saw the bigger picture.
Right. He ended up being able to take a controlling stake in the company because of that, guided them towards realizing their true value. Talk about a return on investment, right?
That's incredible. Okay, so that story, that perfectly sums up what Graham is trying to teach us in The Intelligent Investor, right? It's not about what, chasing the latest hot stock tip or trying to time the market perfectly.
Right. It's about so much more than that. It's about becoming a part owner of a really solid business, thinking long term, and letting that business work for you over time.
He wants you to think like a business owner, not some gambler in a casino.
Exactly.
Which for some listening might make you a little nervous. Like, am I even cut out for this? Is this just for, you know, financial wizards? But that's where Graham throws a bit of a curveball, doesn't he?
He absolutely does. He says anyone, and I mean anyone, can be an intelligent investor. You don't need a fancy degree. You don't need some secret insider knowledge.
So what's the secret then?
It's about your mindset. It's about cultivating these specific traits. And honestly, they're more about your character than your IQ.
Okay, so what are these magic traits that unlock investing success? Lay it on us.
Well, patience is a big one. Investing is a marathon, not a sprint. Then you've got to have discipline, the ability to stick to your plan, even when the market's throwing a tantrum, you know.
Easier said than done.
Right. And we can't forget about emotional control. Because, let's be honest, the market, it loves to mess with our emotions.
It's all about taking that deep breath when everyone else is freaking out and hitting the panic button, or on the flip side, buying into the hype. Which brings us to a super important distinction that Graham makes: investing versus speculation.
Ah, yes. And this is where things get really, really interesting.
Because.
Well, investing, the way Graham sees it, is about really carefully researching businesses, understanding their true intrinsic value, what they're actually worth, and only buying in when there's a margin of safety. Essentially, you're looking for a discount between the price you pay and what the company is actually worth.
So it's like shopping for, I don't know, a designer suit on clearance.
There you go. You're getting the same quality, the same craftsmanship, but you're paying a fraction of the original price.
Love a good deal. But what about speculation then? How does that fit in?
Speculation is more about gambling, plain and simple. You're trying to make a quick buck off those short-term price swings, often without really understanding the business you're putting your money into.
Okay. So Graham, he uses a brilliant analogy in the book. He compares investing to owning a piece of a business, which over time should generate profits, increase in value.
Makes sense.
Speculation, though, that's like betting on horses at the track. You might win big in the short term if you get lucky, but in the long run, the odds are stacked against you. The house always wins.
It's so true. And honestly, this is where things get a little tricky. Wall Street loves to blur those lines, you see. They'll take these risky bets, dress them up as safe, reliable investments.
They make it sound so convincing.
Right. They use all the latest marketing tricks, come up with these super complex financial products, all to convince you that this time it's different. This is the big one.
But it's not.
It's not. And Graham is here to remind us of that. The rules of the game, they haven't changed. So before you click that buy button, before you make that trade, you've got to ask yourself, am I really investing here or am I just speculating?
Love it. And it all boils down to choosing the right approach for you. And thankfully, Graham, he gives us a roadmap. He outlines two main investor profiles, the defensive and the enterprising.
And neither one is necessarily better than the other. The key is figuring out which one fits your personality, you know, how much time and energy you want to put into research, and of course, how much risk you can stomach.
Okay, so let's break down these two investor profiles. Let's start with the defensive investor. What are they all about? Okay, so let's break down these two investor profiles. Let's start with the defensive investor. What are they all about?
So the defensive investor, you can think of them as someone who really prioritizes safety and simplicity above all else.
Got it. Playing it safe.
Exactly. They're like, you know those folks who would much rather be relaxing on a cruise ship than, say, going whitewater rafting?
I feel that.
Right. They just want a smooth ride. They want to know their investments are going to be okay. They're not trying to beat the market. They're not out there trying to find the next hot stock.
They just want to put their money somewhere safe and watch it grow.
They'd be happy just matching the market's returns, but with a lot less risk. You know what? That's perfectly fine.
Makes sense to me.
And you know it's a perfect tool for these defensive investors? Index funds.
Oh, yeah, index funds.
They weren't around back in Graham's day, at least not in the same way.
That's true.
But they really are ideal for this type of investor because they offer instant diversification.
So you're not putting all your eggs in one basket.
Precisely. You're spreading your money across hundreds, even thousands of stocks all at once. It's a beautiful thing.
So that's the defensive investor in a nutshell.
Pretty much.
But what about their more, shall we say, adventurous counterpart? What about the enterprising investor?
Ah, yes. The enterprising investor. This is where things get a little bit more hands-on. These investors, they're willing to roll up their sleeves, dig into those financial statements, spend time really getting to know a company inside and out.
They're not afraid of a little hard work when it comes to their investments.
Not at all. They're like, you know, those really savvy shoppers, the ones who scour the clearance racks for those hidden designer gems.
Mm.
They're still looking for value. That's key. But they're willing to put in a little more legwork if it means potentially scoring a bigger return.
They're playing the long game, but they're also not afraid to get their hands a little dirty in the process.
Exactly. But here's the thing. Even for these enterprising investors, Graham stresses how important it is to stick to those core principles of value investing.
It's not just about, like, throwing darts at a dartboard and hoping something sticks.
Right. It's about understanding what you own, why you own it, and what makes that business tick.
It's about separating your emotions from your investment decisions.
Which, let's be real, that's often easier said than done.
Oh, absolutely. Right. Especially when the market's going haywire.
Exactly. And this is where I think Graham's whole concept of Mr. Market comes in handy.
Mr. Market. Okay, I like this. Tell me more.
So Graham, he personifies the market. He turns it into this emotional, often irrational character who's always swinging between, like, fits of fear and greed.
Sounds about right.
Right. And so the key is you can't let Mr. Market dictate your every move. You have to be able to see through those swings, you know, recognize the opportunities that they create.
Give me an example. How do you use Mr. Market to your advantage?
Okay, so imagine Mr. Market is like that, you know, that unpredictable friend who's always showing up at your door wanting to either buy your stuff or sell you something.
I'll have that friend.
Right. And sometimes they're offering you a ridiculously good deal, and other times they're trying to overcharge you like crazy.
So it's your job to figure out when to take the deal and when to walk away.
Exactly. The intelligent investor, they recognize those moments and they act accordingly. They're buying when Mr. Market is in a fearful mood, when he's offering them a bargain, and they might consider selling when he's feeling overly enthusiastic, when he's driving those prices sky high.
Okay, I'm starting to see how this works, but it's tough, right? Because one of the biggest traps I think people fall into is blindly following the crowd.
Oh, 100%. We're wired that way, right? Well, to seek safety in numbers.
Safety numbers. Makes sense.
But in investing, following the herd, That can lead to some disastrous decisions. It's like that old saying, right? If everyone's jumping off a bridge,
you don't want to be the last one to realize it was a bad idea.
Exactly. By the time everyone's piled into that hot new investment, chances are the smart money is already heading for the exits.
So how do we avoid getting swept up in all the hype? How do we learn to think for ourselves and make those smart, independent decisions when it comes to our money?
It always circles back to Graham's emphasis on value.
Value over everything.
Value over hype, for sure.
Yeah.
He wants investors to look beyond the headlines, ignore all that market noise, and really dig into a company's financials, you know, those boring old financial statements.
Hey, nitty-gritty.
Yep, the nuts and bolts of the business. What are their earnings like? What assets do they have? How much debt are they carrying? And importantly, how have all of those figures been trending over time?
Okay, so you're saying it's not enough to just look at the stock price. You've got to understand what's actually driving that price.
Exactly. Is it driven by solid fundamentals, real growth and profitability? Or is it all just speculation and hot air? And this is where things can get a little tricky, even when you're looking at the financials.
How so? What do you mean?
Well, you've got to watch out for things like non-recurring charges. Basically, companies will sometimes try to bury expenses, maybe even losses, in their financial statements, hoping that most investors won't really notice.
It's like when you're shopping online and you think you're getting free shipping, but then bam, they hit you with that hidden handling fee.
It's the oldest trick in the book.
So what's the best defense against these sneaky tactics?
You've got to read the fine print, for one thing. But more importantly, you've got to understand the context behind those numbers. Don't be afraid to ask questions. And this is where Graham's concept of margin of safety comes into play big time.
Okay, back to the margin of safety. Remind us what that is again.
So remember that designer suit we were talking about? The one on Super Clearance?
Oh, yeah.
The steeper the discount, the greater your margin of safety. So you're basically buying a company for significantly less than its intrinsic value. It's like a built-in cushion, right? To protect you against those inevitable surprises that pop up in the market.
Makes sense. So you're kind of preparing for the unexpected.
Exactly. And sometimes those surprises, they can actually work in your favor. They can create some incredible opportunities for those who are paying attention. Take, for instance, Graham's analysis of National General versus National Presto. These were two companies that at first glance seemed really similar. They were both in similar industries, had similar financials.
Okay, I'm following it.
But here's the thing. National General, it got caught up in all this market enthusiasm. Its stock price, it was soaring. Meanwhile, National Presto, it was being totally overlooked by the market. Its stock price was lagging way behind.
Sounds like a classic case of Mr. Market at work.
Oh, absolutely. Mr. Market was feeling very enthusiastic about National General, not so much about National Presto.
Mm-hmm.
But here's where Graham's approach really shines. By carefully examining their financial statements, he realized that National Presto was actually the much, much better deal.
Really? Even though the market was saying otherwise?
Especially because the market was saying otherwise. National Presto was trading at this huge discount to its true value, while National General, it was way overvalued.
Wow. That's incredible.
It really goes to show you can't just blindly trust the market, right? You can't just rely on what everyone else is saying.
Gotta trust your gut.
You gotta do your own homework. Trust your judgment. And that's exactly what Graham teaches you how to do. He gives you the tools, he gives you the mindset to identify those hidden gems that everyone else is missing.
So it's about having the confidence to go against the grain, to zig when everyone else is zagging.
10 times, yeah. Mm-hmm. But there's another crucial element to all of this that we haven't talked about yet, a quality that every intelligent investor needs in spades.
And that is.
Patience.
Patience.
Patience. I cannot emphasize it enough.
More than just a virtue, then.
Oh, absolutely. It's practically a superpower when it comes to investing.
Okay, so how does patience translate into investing success?
Well, it's about delaying gratification, right? Resisting that urge we all have to chase those quick profits, those hot stock tips.
It's about trusting the process.
Exactly. Trusting that over time, value, true value, it's going to be recognized by the market eventually.
Eventually. So sometimes you have to wait a while for those returns.
Sometimes it takes a while. But you know what they say, good things come to those who wait, right?
They do. Okay. But do you have like a real world example of this? Something concrete to help us wrap our heads around the power of patience?
Oh, absolutely. Grant, he tells this amazing story in the book about the Washington Post Company back in 1973.
The Washington Post. As in the newspaper.
The one and only. Mm. So at the time, the Washington Post Company, which, by the way, they own the newspaper, but they also own Newsweek magazine.
Okay, so this is a big media company we're talking about.
Huge. But get this. Back then, they were valued by the market at a measly $80
million. $80 million for the Washington Post. Come on. That's
right. It sounds crazy, but it's true. But here's the real kicker. The company's assets, we're talking about those valuable media properties, the newspaper, the magazine, they were worth at least $400 million, probably even more.
So it was like this massive disconnect between like the perceived value and the actual value.
It's like finding a golden ticket just hidden in plain sight.
Incredible. So what happened? Did people catch on? Did they see the opportunity?
Well, that's the beauty of Graham's approach, right? He's not asking you to be some kind of fortune teller. He's not asking you to predict the future of the market. Which is impossible, by the way.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Exactly. Instead, he's giving you this framework for identifying those rare moments, those beautiful moments when the market gets it wrong, you know?
When it undervalues something significantly.
Exactly. When it undervalues a company so much, so dramatically, that the potential upside, if you're patient, is enormous. So instead of trying to time the market perfectly, which again, impossible, you're patiently waiting for those opportunities, those fat pitch opportunities, to come to you.
I love that, the fat pitch. Okay, so what happened with the Washington Post?
Well, it took time, of course. Mm. It took years, even decades in some cases, for the market to fully realize the true value of those assets.
But those who got in early, those who were patient.
They were rewarded handsomely. And that's what's so amazing about Graham's approach. It's not about getting rich quick. It's not about gambling. It's about building lasting wealth. And it all starts with those core principles. Careful research, sound judgment, and above all else,
patience.
Patience.
Okay, so before we wrap up our deep dive here, can we distill everything we've talked about, all of Graham's wisdom, into some like key takeaways for our listeners? What are the most important things to remember?
Yes, absolutely. So first and foremost, investing. It's about owning a piece of a business. Mm-hmm. Don't get so caught up in those day-to-day, even minute-to-minute fluctuations of the stock market. What really matters is the long-term health and prospects of those businesses you're invested in.
It's about thinking like an owner, not a trader.
Exactly. Now, the second thing, you've always got to be wary of market hype. Okay. Wall Street, they're experts at spinning narratives, creating excitement around certain companies, certain sectors. But you can't let their emotions dictate your investment decisions. You've got to stick to those principles of value investing that we've been talking about, even when, especially when, everyone else seems to be getting rich quick on the latest, greatest thing.
Tune out the noise.
Exactly. Remember Mr. Market. He's there to serve you, not the other way around. You're in control. And speaking of control, point number three, diversification, my friend. Diversification.
Don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Spread those investments around. Different companies, different industries, different asset classes, heck, even different countries, if that makes sense for your situation.
So you're prepared for anything no matter what happens.
Exactly. You're building yourself a portfolio that can weather any storm. And last but not least, and this is a big one, remember this. You don't need to be a financial genius to be a successful investor. You really don't. Graham's approach, it's accessible. It's for everyone. As long as you're willing to put in a little time, do your homework, and of course, be patient.
Love it. So much wisdom packed into this one book. It's incredible.
Right. And that's the beauty of it. It's timeless.
It really is. Well, there you have it, folks. The wisdom of the intelligent investor distilled down to its essence. We hope this deep dive has given you the insights, the inspiration to embark on your own journey toward becoming more intelligent investors.
And remember, the most important investment you can make, it's in your own financial education.
Keep learning, keep growing, and never stop questioning. That's the real path to financial success.